We're doing Netivot Shalom. We're on Parshat Vayakel, and the topic is Vayakel Moshe et kol adat bnei Yisrael. Moshe gathered all of Israel. Vayomer alem, he said to them, Eila advarim sheotzeva Hashem lasot otam. The following is what Hashem told us to do. For 6 days you will do work. On the seventh you will have sanctity, a day of rest for Hashem. The Yalkut Shimoni quotes, our sages say that from the beginning of the Torah to the end, you have no parsha which begins with that introductory statement of Vayakel Moshe, Moshe gathered Israel. Why? So he says, let's understand, why does this begin with that introduction? That's question number one. Number two, Moshe begins with the words Eile HaDevarim. These are the words that Hashem commanded us to do. That Hashem commanded us La'asot Otam, to do them. Why does the parasha begin with the words la'asot otam, to do? Sounds like we're talking about performance. And then he's commanding them what not to do. He tells them, you shouldn't do any of these tasks on Shabbos. So why does he begin with an introduction? This is what Hashem said to do. He should have began with, this is what Hashem said not to do, right? That's question number two. Number three, this parasha was said after Hashem was appeased over the sin of the golden calf, right? The parasha is Vayakel, is after we had gained atonement. Like Rashi explains, that the whole parasha was discussed after Yom Kippur, after Moshe came down from the mountain. And if that's so, so then the parasha must have a connection to that concept of a reconnection with Hashem. There must be something in this parasha. If this is the first thing Hashem tells them, after Moshe comes off the mountain, after things are good again, so there must be an insight here. So what was the power that brought us back together with Hashem? How'd we get back? So he says, okay, we can understand it based on what it says in the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech discusses that before we do a mitzvah, so Hasidim have a custom that they say L'shem Yichud, where we're doing this mitzvah in the name of Hashem, B'shem Kol Yisrael, in the name of all of Israel. That's what they say before they do a mitzvah. So when a Jew's about to do mitzvah, he's saying, I'm doing it in the name of all of Israel. The Noam Elimelech explains that an individual, how can he do mitzvah? Everyone has faults. No one's perfect. And when a person has used his limbs for things that are wrong, how can he come back and say, let me use those same limbs for doing something right? If we were holy enough, then when we come to Daven Shmoneh Esrei, for example, we would feel blemished. How can I use my mouth? I know what I just said that's improper. My benching was improper. Now I'm going to talk to Hashem with the same mouth. The Gemara says, one of the Amoraim said, I wish I had two mouths. One for dealing what I need to deal with, another one for prayer. How could I use the same mouth that I do other things with? And the truth is that you probably are familiar with this. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but sometimes you have a conversation where you speak improperly about someone. And then the guy comes and he's all friendly and buddy-buddy with you, and you feel like you can't do it. You're playing a game because you just spoke badly about him, and now you have to play it like you're his best friend. And sometimes you could even be in the right. Sometimes halachically you were supposed to say that, but you still feel uncomfortable. He's so nice to you, and how could you make believe like everything's okay with him? So the same is here. If we would really think about it, to come and do mitzvot with the very limbs with which we transgressed should feel unnatural to us. But there is a different level to the world. There is the level called Kol Yisrael, Am Yisrael as a whole. And when we speak about the unifying factor of Am Yisrael, so there no sin affects us. Now, just because you asked the question earlier, I want to take a minute to show you your question and this answer. Okay? He asked, do Hasidic concepts innovate? This concept that he's talking about now, he's using the Noam Elimelech's words. But we learned this concept about 3 years ago in the Drashot Aran. The Drashot Aran, in his first speech, asks a few questions which revolve around the same question. He says, why does a tzibur work? What's the benefit of standing in shul as 10 individuals as a minyan? How are you better off? So he says that in a minyan, we learn that my sins don't weigh down anyone else's. My merits help their prayer become accepted, but my sins don't hurt them. We daven as a group, and my weaknesses, my faults, don't drag down anyone else. So then he says, why? Why should that be the case? Why do our merits unite and our weaknesses do not? And then he explains that we're working as a team effort. We'll take an example from today. In our lives, let's say you have a soccer team. So the goalie is not a good offenseman, and the offenseman is not a good goalie. Each one has their weakness. But as a team, they could win every game. Because the offenseman's strengths don't hinder the goalie's strengths. And the offenseman's weakness is that he's not a good goalie. Well, that's covered by the goalie. So when you're a team, then your strengths can unite to form a greater whole. Your weaknesses do not unite, because you cover for one another's weaknesses. The same is true in a minyan. When you come to daven, if you're an individual, so in heaven they look down at us and they say, whoa, look what he just did. So then we have to stand up and do our merits, carry our prayer in. But if we come as a team, we come as a minyan, we come as a whole, so the greater whole has much more strength. Then in heaven they look at them and they say, look, this mitzvah's done. Okay, that one's missing that mitzvah, but his friend, our prayer goes up as a team effort. So you see this concept that he's talking about, he calls it Kol Yisrael, all of Israel. The Ran uses it on a different level. Same concept. When you unite a group, so then we don't drag one another down with our weaknesses.
A bigger minyan is there anymore.
It would seem that way. But in order to understand that better, you have to join our class in Elul and Rav Moshe Cordoviro, and when he discusses the strength of a minyan. What's the advantage of 10? Why is 10 different than anything else? So that we discuss in Elul.
Is that
in Tomer Dvor
or in the book?
Tomer Dvor, yeah. So you see, the Noam Elimelech writes, that's what the Pasuk says, Ve'amech kulam tzadikim. We say that in prayer. The stress over here is kulam. When you have a unification of Israel, so then it's Am Yisrael is righteous people. When you have Amech Kulam, when you have a unification, so then Tzadikim. Why? Because we look at it as this individual has his weakness, that individual has his weakness, but the unification, well, that whole doesn't have any sins, no transgression. And that's why when a Jew comes to do a mitzvah, he says, I'm doing it in the name of all of Israel. He's saying, I'm doing it as a part of a greater whole. It's not just me who's doing it. I, as one of the people of Israel, am doing it. And then, nothing can stand in his way of doing the mitzvah, because it's not like they'll say in heaven, who are you to perform this mitzvah, and by what right do you use the same limbs you blemished to do a mitzvah? So that was the good news that Moshe told Israel when he came off the mountain. He says, here you had a sin that was attributed to Klal Yisrael, because the people of Israel accepted the sin. Some were actively involved and some were passively involved, but it happened in the midst of Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe comes off the mountain and Hashem is willing to forgive them. The news of forgiveness is Hashem is willing to consider it as individuals who sin, not as a Klal. Klal Yisrael remains a righteous whole. And that's where Hashem was willing to forgive them. Hashem was willing to say, let me judge each one individually and not as a whole. Just one second. So Moshe comes and gathers Am Yisrael. Vayakhel Moshe et kol Yisrael. He gathers them. He tells them there's a new concept. Klal Yisrael. Vayakhel Moshe. When he comes off the mountain, he says, you should know, one of my claims to Hashem is that you as a whole are pious people. There are individuals that sinned. There were only 3,000 people that sinned with the golden calf, right? It wasn't a huge percentage of Am Yisrael. So that's why the first thing Moshe does is to unite them. And that's the part of the atonement for the sin of the golden calf. And based on this, we can also understand the Pasuk. He says, this is what Hashem said you should do. It's not going on the mitzvah of Shabbos, because that's what Hashem said not to do. It's going back on Vayakhel Moshe. It says, Moshe gathered them and said, this is what Hashem said you should do. To be gathered, to be united. You want to atone for the sin of the golden calf? Become a part of a greater whole. And then you can gain atonement. And based on this, we can understand what the Talmud says in Tractate of Avodah Zarah. The Talmud says a very difficult line. It says, Am Yisrael should not have sinned in the golden calf. Nature shouldn't have had it. The nature of the people should have been repulsed by the sin. Hashem wanted it to happen so that for all future generations, the people would know that even if they sinned in mass, well then in mass we can accomplish tshuva. Yes? So the question is, what were they teaching us? they were teaching us that you have to become a part of a greater whole to accomplish that tshuva. When Am Yisrael unites as a greater whole, you didn't have unity around the Egel. You had individuals. You had 3,000 doing the sin. And you had another 1,900,997,000 Jews standing there as individuals, not reacting. But they weren't active participants. It wasn't the whole that was sinning. It was the 3,000 individuals who were sinning. Hashem says, unite as a whole. When you unite as a whole, then you accomplish positive things. The Gemara, okay. He goes on to show how this applies to many other lines in Talmud. But okay, we'll leave that for next time. So we're stopping midstream. So basically what he taught us so far is the idea of the unity of the klal. The klal does not transgress. And that was the message of Moshe when he came off the mountain, to unite in positive form and through that to accomplish tshuva. We're still in the middle of the idea. We'll try to pick up on Thursday.